to Sabonis. Throws now to the left corner to Barnes. Fakes the three. Drives on Draymond. Shoulders for space. Squares up the floater. No good. Stick back to De'Aaron Fox. He came out of nowhere on the left angle. And he was above the iron to poke it down off the miss. Spectacular timing on the part of De'Aaron Fox. And the Kings have a three-point lead at 11-8.
We out here trying to function. You know, back in the day when you would be at a house party. I don't know if they called it this, Chris, in your time, but they call it a function, right?
Yeah, that was you going right to the function, before my high school.
You out to the function tonight. Yeah. Well, the Kings shut down the function for the Warriors. That's what happened as they end the Warriors season and possibly their dynasty. Our guy Sam Amick reporting that there will be interest in Klay Thompson from the Dallas Mavericks. They are not scared off by that glazed donut performance of a zero of what Klay Thompson put up. Obviously, we know Klay's great. We're just having some fun here. 916-339-1140. Also, breaking news, if you're just now joining us, Zion Williamson is OUT. He is out on Friday. Before you get too excited, the Kings, in one of their five losses to the Pelicans, one of their worst losses was with Zion out. They lost by a 30-piece to – Chris, was that in New Orleans or that was at home?
It was – let me see here real quick. It was at home.
Okay.
Golden 1 Center.
You got that going for you. Yeah. It won't be at home this time.
It was a really weird game, though. I'm looking at it here. De'Aaron was 1 of 10 in that game. Keegan was 2 of 9 in that game. Chris Duarte started that game. That was during the period of time where Kevin Huerter was coming off of the bench. He was 6 of 10. He actually was the Kings' leading scorer in that one.
And by the way, if there's anywhere you need to go or have to go to play an away game, and look, the Kings might
lose. I know
where
you're going.
The Kings might lose. Don't get me wrong. They've lost five times already. As far as hostile environments, I just don't think New Orleans is that high on the list. And I just don't think a place called the Smoothie King Center is a place that anyone is ever going to be afraid of.
Bro. You're right.
We gotta go to the Smoothie King Center.
There's no bigger joke.
Can I get
than
a razzmatazz while I'm there? Can I get a strawberry surf rider while I'm there? I mean, come on.
It's crazy.
916-339-1140. Let's get to Bryant, who wants to talk Kings and Sabonis. What's up, Bryant? What you got for us?
Hey, how you doing, man? Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Of course.
I just wanted to give an attaboy to Arvydas Sabonis, man, because I've been a Kings fan my whole life. And I got to tell you, man, the last time he got fouled, he got his third foul and picked it up. The way he looked and the way he said, I don't depend on the refs tonight. Enough is enough. How could that not inspire the rest of the team? And even when you're shorthanded, I just got to say that, man, these guys are going to pull together. You got Mike Brown, that's a great guy. And I'm just excited to see what happens next. Let's keep the beam lit. And nothing better than listening to Gary Gerald.
Absolutely.
Thank you for my call.
Anytime, Brian, anytime.
Thanks for the call, Brian.
That was a first. I've never heard somebody accidentally call Domantas Sabonis Arvydas.
Yeah. Hey, he knows ball. He knows ball. We do know that. Well, let's get it. Let's start the conversation as far as what Brian had to say. Do you feel like Sabonis exercised his Warriors demons last night? Because it wasn't a crazy game. Funny enough, wasn't it similar to the average numbers that he put up in the series?
Yeah, that's interesting. It was more assists, and I think that was the thing that we talked about a lot with the roundtable yesterday, is his teammates kind of let him down in that playoff series that made his numbers look a little bit worse than what they are. But yeah, pretty much like in that playoffs last year, Sabonis was, let's get these numbers here. He was about 16 points per game, about 12 rebounds, and about 5 assists. And last night, he had 16 points. I think he had 12 rebounds, and he had seven assists. So that's pretty much exactly what he did. I don't feel like he really exercised any demons. I think he definitely feels good about his performance. He didn't lay an egg. He also made sure that Kevon Looney didn't have crazy offensive rebounds. Trayce Jackson-Davis was a non-factor. Draymond really never got much of his offense going. So I think he feels good about his performance, but like, is he leaving that game with supreme confidence? Like, I just conquered the world. I just did the thing that, you know, haunted me all summer. I don't think so, but I think he still probably feels fine about the overall performance. Like, he didn't lay an egg. He went, I think I was tracking it, and he went like 0-4, 0-5 from the mid-range. So, you know, the thing that everyone kind of wanted. And he missed the three as well. So, like, the things that I think people wanted him to do to improve over the season, I don't think happened. But at the same time, it was good enough for the team to win. And, I mean, cliche, but, like, ultimately, that's kind of what matters.
Yeah.
And he still played good.
Right.
It's just,
I think literally what he did during the series.
We would count this as just a normal Sabonis. 16, 12, and 7 is literally a normal Sabonis night.
And what I would counter with is how many nights where Sabonis had triple-doubles and the Kings lost, we said, what's the point of that?
Exactly.
If he's putting up triple-doubles and you can't even get the W. So I would say, hey, maybe he didn't put a stamp on it. And by the way, Kevin O'Connor had a lot to say, and I'm trying to get Kevin on the show. We keep tagging him. He had some things to say about Keon. Now all of a sudden he's on the Keon train. Even the biggest Kings haters are showing love to the Kings, and I think Domas just feels, as the leader he is, just like the caller mentioned, that hey, maybe I didn't get my triple double, and everybody isn't saying, man, he really did his thing against the Warriors and took down that dragon. But we got the W, and I got my double-double, and that's really all that matters. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Ken, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Ken? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got?
What it do, man? I called yesterday, man, and told the Kings fans that had their pom-poms up.
That's right.
And had their pom-poms up, man. So, because all we had to do was just win. That's all we had to do. Yesterday's win was a victory for everybody. Man, for Sacramento Kings fans, for the team, for the coaches and everything, man, because nobody's talking that talk about getting rid of the coach and the coach is not coaching right. Yesterday was a new beginning. People don't realize that. Yesterday's game had nothing to do with the regular season. Guess what? We was fresh on everything, 100% free throw shooting team, 100% three-point shooting team. Guess what? Everything transpired like it was supposed to. Everything yesterday was new to everybody, new to the Golden State Warriors, new to the Sacramento Kings. It was a pressure, man, that we all had to lead into and see how we came out. And we came out victorious, man. Listen, it was coached well. It was played well. You know, Stephen A. Smith talking about Fox has to get 40 points. Sabonis got to get the triple-double. Guess what? Last night proved we don't need all that. All we need is togetherness, man, for the team to play together, man, and on point. Man, last night was beautiful. The crowd was in pandemonium. Hey, man, they was cheering from the first basket from Curry's boo-boo three. You know what I'm saying? The boo-boo three to start off, and then we made our three with Keegan Murray.
That's right.
And then we was on our way, man. And I like to say, man, Sacramento Kings fans, man, keep pom-pomming. Listen, this is a new season, new beginning. I see y'all next Sunday and at the Golden One Center, man. And I'm out. Love y'all.
Thanks for the call, Ken. Always keeping the vibes positive. The Kings are going to have an opportunity. And now, Chris, what was it that you said yesterday? The Warriors now move to 0-3 in the play-in. I know they were 0-2.
Right.
Were they 0-2?
Yeah, they were 0-2. That's right.
Now they're 0-3. And what Ken is talking about, how Stephen A. was saying De'Aaron needed to have 40.
Right.
And there's been some back and forth because I think it was Kendrick Perkins came down the road of Shaq and Barkley based on something they said on TNT saying these dudes don't watch games. Right. And then Shaq came back and said, well, Kenna,
fool, you don't either.
Well, he said, can a Hall of Famer talk to a non-Hall of Famer about something like that? And really, I know he that's what he's gonna go to.
That's the equivalent of rings.
And to that point, they didn't understand national media the defense that the Kings had been playing lately because they just assumed it was going to be, like you said, a shootout. Mm-hmm. And if it was a shootout, you would need a triple-double from Sabonis.
Yes.
You would need Fox to drop 40. But that's not how they've been competing lately. I can't say winning because they haven't necessarily
that's
been
right.
winning. But that's how they've been getting leads and getting in, putting themselves in good positions lately. So they did not understand that.
Yeah.
And that's what we saw last night. There are some insane clips of just dudes on the Kings flying around.
Yeah.
The rotations were crispier than my hairline.
That's
I had to get cut up last night. Chris, I see you got cut up too.
Sir.
Had to stay crispy.
Had to.
They are moving around. They are grooving around. And the Warriors, that's why Klay couldn't get going. We have some numbers about Keegan, the open threes, right?
Yeah.
And the amount of open threes that Keegan hit. The Warriors did not really have open shots.
No, they didn't.
They never, what did we talk about
about it being a shooter's arena in Golden 1 Center and the three-point percentage. Dudes felt comfortable throughout the season. They were uncomfortable last night.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, I think that was the big thing is the Kings, I mean, they were just so physical. Like, I mean, and I think it was a bit on both sides too, but anytime anyone was attacking the rim, the Kings were doing great verticalities. They always had some sort of hands in faces or something like that. Guys would help off. Keon got a couple blocks just helping off of guys. Kuminga, Wiggins trying to get little floaters or fallaways into the paint. Keon got that block on Steph right at the buzzer of the third quarter. Mm-hmm. They were just incredibly active. De'Aaron got a couple on-ball steals. Keon stripped Steph.
Yes.
They were just...
Give me them cookies.
They were on... And, like, when you do stuff like that, that's demoralizing. Like, not... We talked yesterday about how the Warriors demoralize people with their threes and getting momentum. Draymond starts yelling. Steph starts night-nighting, and everybody starts getting tense. Mm-hmm. They get tight. People get nervous. You start missing shots. The Kings' way of putting pressure on was literally putting pressure on the ball and making sure the Warriors, like you said, they were just never comfortable. Mm-hmm. They felt like, you know, if I'm open for a second, there's going to be a body that's touching me anytime, and I don't know which direction it's going to come from, and they just felt uncomfortable. I mean, Klay, that's a whole separate story. He had a lot of open looks that he just shanked, but specifically with Steph, they just beat the hell out of him all game, and that's exactly what you had to do. And, again, just another perfectly executed thing by this team.
When we return, continuing the conversation, what this means for Keegan Murray and his future. Jay, we see you. Hang on. We're getting to you right when we get back. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Kuminga drives to the left baseline, reaches inside. Ball may have been deflected by Lyles. It's grabbed by Sabonis, weaves his way up the floor, kicks to the corner. Harrison Barnes, he's got the triple from the deep left corner. The Black Falcon, goal! Timeout taken by Steve Kerr. Sacramento leading by 14 at 36-22 early in the second.
That call from G-Man was outstanding. And
that was an in-rhythm call.
Yes. Like, I said, Nate, was that... That was live? And they said, yeah, that was live.
A call!
Yeah. G-Man.
G-Man's the greatest.
Feeling
man.
Good.
It's so funny.
Feeling good, living better. And that's what Keegan Murray was doing. 32 points, 9 rebounds, 8 of 13. Does anybody call in? Anybody lose your voice from saying, Keegan Murray, anybody lose your voice? Because there was a lot of that. And by the way, it was so loud in Golden 1 Center that around the league, people were talking about how awesome the Keegan Murray chant is and how it's probably the best chant in all of basketball, Chris.
Incredible.
In all of basketball.
Just wait until they hear the Domantas Sabonis chant.
That's right. Well, Dave was there.
Yeah.
Dave was leading it. He was doing a towel twirl.
Is he really?
I tried to catch it on video. I caught the end of it, the towel twirl. I caught the end of it. And people are starting to learn today.
Yeah.
Just like Kevin Hart said, you're going to learn today. You're going to continue to learn.
You hear that, free agents? You can get a cool chant.
The chants are outstanding. You can golf with Malik Monk.
That's right.
You can golf with Allen Styles.
Sure.
And you can golf with Chris Watkins as well. And we'll make you feel really good about your game.
Yeah.
How about that? 916-339-1140. Let's get to Jay, who's been hanging on. What's up, Jay? What you got for us?
What up, man? Now, thank you guys for taking my call. I just want to show some love to Mike Brown last night, man.
Yeah.
I think the switch on having Fox on Draymond was huge. I don't think Golden State expected it. And I knew Coach had some tricks up his sleeve, you know, and heading into the Pelican game, I think he's going to have to pull some of those out again. Maybe some Lin and some Bonus on the court together. I mean, with Zion out, it's a little different now, but hey, man, Coach Brown deserves some love because I know I've been very, very critical of his coaching and rotations at times, but you got to show love when the love's there.
Thanks for the call, Jay. That's great stuff. That's great stuff.
Yeah.
And that is what I have learned or understood Sacramento fans, or not to generalize, but a lot of Sacramento fans to be. They'll be hard on you, but when they feel like you deserve it, whether that's warranted or not, but when you come through for them, they'll give you flowers. And Mike Brown has taken a lot of flack. It's been a tough year and not what everybody expected out of this team. There have been injuries, things like that. But good on Jay and good on anybody who can sit there and say, hey, man, he bought out last night. Because that was huge. Golden State did not expect that. And, Chris, yeah. I'll let you kind of speak to it. When we got out of the pregame presser, you said that compared to last season and maybe specifically the Game 7 in the postseason, Mike Brown, the quiet confidence was oozing off of him.
Yeah.
He just felt like I put – and this is really who he's been all season long. Yeah. I put in this game plan. I'm going to let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, no, I didn't really know how to properly word it, but, like, it was just – I think calm confidence is probably the right – especially in hindsight, looking back at it, like, it's probably the right phrasing. Because, you know, Mike Brown – we've been in many a Mike Brown press conference pre, post-game. He's got some energy to him, like always, like always hyped, or, you know, someone will, he'll see a familiar face or someone will spark a question that really intrigues him and he'll be very vibrant, expressive, super detailed. And yesterday, it's not that he wasn't detailed. It's not that he was short. It's not that he was even like angry or stern or anything. But again, just like a really calm, confident, never, like, just kind of always talking here and you know, yeah, we just got to go out there, take care of business, whatever, whatever. And I wasn't sure how to read it. I wasn't sure if this was okay, like, he's pretty nervous about how today's going to go, or if it was, like you said, and I think it ended up panning out, he was just like, I feel like I know what we need to do. I feel like our guys know what they need to know. We just got to go out there and do it. And again, it was a perfectly executed game plan from Davion's minutes to, yeah, I mean, Steph De'Aaron being switched onto Draymond. Me and Brendan were talking about it during the game. Like, it really allowed so that when Draymond sets that screen, they have the ability to switch. It's almost like pre-switching. Mm-hmm. You're going to get, Draymond's going to set the screen and you know, you're going to get the initial Keon or Keegan off of Steph, but you're going to get De'Aaron onto him. And so instead of having Sabonis on Steph and then putting Sabonis on an island, it's just that chessboard, that chess piece that you use to try and be a step ahead. And I think that was a huge thing for not only Steph struggling to get involved, but also his teammates struggling to get involved. Draymond really killed the Kings last year on those three-on-twos where the Kings would blitz Steph high at the half-court line. And then Draymond would get the ball like right at the free throw line extended, and it would be either Draymond floater, you would have somebody running for a lob, or you'd have a wide open guy in the corner. The Warriors maybe got to that like two or three times yesterday.
Right.
And the Kings, I don't think there's no stat for it, but it felt like they broke up like five or six lobs last night.
They did. Yeah. And when they did get to it, that shot in the corner, it was either Draymond, who you're going to live with.
That's right.
Or Chris Paul, who prior to last night was shooting 14%.
Or Wiggins, man.
Against the Warriors or against the Kings from three ball. And I'm thinking now, Chris, as he prepares to go to Brooklyn, you got two brilliant defensive minds on that coaching staff with Mike Brown and Jordy Fernandez. Yeah. Maybe Jordy also had something to do with the decision to put De'Aaron on Draymond. And they really, really weren't prepared for it. If you're just now joining us, Zion Williamson is out. He will be out on Friday, and the Kings will have a little bit of an easier go on paper, but they've lost to the Pelicans. They've lost to every version of the Pelicans. They've lost to the Pelicans with no Brandon Ingram.
Right.
But Zion, they've lost to the Pelicans. Every Rubik's Cube combination you can come up with, the Pelicans have lost or have beaten the Kings. But will that continue moving forward as the Kings will have a sixth shot at this and the most important one on Friday? Let's get to Steven, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Steven? What you got for us?
Man, a whole lot. Pardon me.
You're good.
Man, dude, what a game last night, man. Mm-hmm. I was telling the boys this morning on the morning show, man, I ran outside as soon as the game was over so I could see that beam being lit from my house, man, because it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and thick. And extra bright, real, like in Dave's terms, you know, nice and girthy, you know?
Yep.
So, okay. I mean, dude, 14 points by Keegan. He was 4-for-7 in the first quarter. That was absolutely explosive.
Mm-hmm.
That was some of the stuff that we were looking for. I'm super stoked about that. Now, they had a shot, real quick. Now, here's my question. They had a shot of Mike Brown, and Mike got live. Okay. He was really active in the voice, you know, is he always that popping on the sideline? Like, is he always screaming at the top of his absolute lungs and just being always so eccentric? Like, is he always like that? Because, man, when he was trying to get these boys back on D, man, I thought he was going to pop a blood vessel going, you know, letting them know. So,
yeah. No, thanks for the call as always, Steven. He definitely has his moments. Yeah. And I would say
he got that tech a couple weeks ago from like running all the way to the other side of the floor.
Right. And there was one play, and I said it to Chris, I think it was Wiggins on, I believe it was Keegan on Wiggins, and Wiggins just blew by Keegan. And I said, that was the worst defense I've ever seen. And as I finished saying, the ball had barely gone in the basket, yes. And Mike just stomps onto the court and calls a timeout.
He was already at the free throw line. He was like, no.
He was already there. Continuing the conversation when we return. Mike, we see you from the 707. We will get to you right after this. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Comes Draymond, sets up the alley-oop. The conversion attempt is missed by Wiggins. Rebound, steered out to Fox. He feeds it now to Keon Ellis. He spots up, three's on the way. He's got the triple. Keon Ellis, surprisingly to some, shooting better than 40% from downtown in this breakout season for him. 46-32 in favor of the Kings.
This is from a piece Sam Amick wrote, and Chris, you know, we did talk about this and how it's kind of the inverse of the discussion of whether or not you feel better about the Kings season because of who they beat. Even if they lose to the Pelicans Friday, will it change how you feel? Maybe. Now I got to wait to see what they do against the Pelicans. But we talked about this on the airways. If they lost to the Warriors again, specifically the Warriors, could something crazy, and I've talked about it on off night, I'll be doing off night tomorrow night, could something crazy happen, right, if the Kings lose to the Warriors? Could Vivek hit the panic button and do something that you might regret, right? Sam Amick writes in his piece on The Athletic, you can check it out, he's one of our guys for sure. In the here and now, though, this Kings win mattered because Brown found a way to avoid a repeat fate that might have sent Ron Adeva into the darkest of holes, given his well-chronicled Warriors-centric ethos and the elevated expectations that came with the Kings' surprise success a year ago. There's no way of knowing how he might have reacted if the Lakeup and his Warriors danced on their graves again.
Yeah, I mean, Sam is arguably the most plugged-in person with this team. I absolutely hear what he's saying, and anybody who's followed this team, you don't even have to be that plugged in. If you followed this team throughout, really, Vivek's ownership, you've known that there's some erratic behavior can definitely be a tendency of his tenure here. I mean, whether it's head coaches or, you know, going all in when teams probably shouldn't have gone all in and you know, just – you know, I even think of the Kings bringing back Luke Walton for that half season where it was very obvious it wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to work. And they just kind of brought him along because, I mean, there was a lot of reports that Vivek didn't want to pay another coach. So
yeah.
I think that there's a lot of things that have gone on with the Ron Adeva ownership time. But definitely, like, if the Kings would have lost, Sam's pointed it out perfectly, if this thing would have gone down specifically to the Warriors with Joe Lacob, we saw Joe Lacob sitting courtside at the game last night, it would have been pretty bad. And I could imagine with, I mean, I was afraid about our callers and our listeners being erratic. No. I can't imagine how many people would have been in Vivek's ear like, oh my God, what a disappointment. What do we do? What do we do? Are we okay? Do we need to do something? And I do think it's a lot of that noise around him that leads him to say, we have to do something. I'm not going to sit back and watch my team fall. I don't want to be embarrassed. I think there's a lot of things that go into it. But absolutely, I mean, if they lost yesterday, I'm not saying it would have happened, but everything would have been on the table. You realistically couldn't say, like, we briefly tuned in to Bay Area radio this morning. they're talking about trading Steph Curry potentially. Yeah. And they're more framing it in a, you know, do we lean into a youth movement with Kuminga and Moody, or do we continue to try and run it back? But I say that to say, if the Kings would have lost, like, I'm not saying it would have happened, but I do think, like, do we have to have a conversation about Domantas Sabonis' future in Sacramento, De'Aaron Fox's future, everybody's future in Sacramento would have been questioned.
Yeah, if Keegan Murray put up a stinker last night, there would have been some crazy thoughts.
Sure.
Right? There would have been some crazy thoughts. There will probably still be some crazy calls and crazy thoughts this summer, but it would have been bad if the Kings went all bad last night. We're about to get to Mike here, but I did want to say this just on the Sack Chat, which is going crazy today. Shout out to all of you. Beamer, Beams, or Beamly says, yeah, but either way, regardless of win or loss, Vivek got to go into the luxury tax for Monk at least. We did this breakdown last week. We will say this again. It's not a matter of Vivek just giving Monk whatever he wants.
Right.
They cannot.
Yep.
They aren't allowed to.
Yeah.
Per the NBA and the NBA rule book, they are stuck at $17 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
It is not Vivek's decision.
Right.
It's not his decision. I repeat, it's not. If somebody offers more than Vivek, he cannot say, well, I want to give Monk this.
Yes.
That is not his choice.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
Okay, 916-339-1140. Let's get to Mike. Wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, Mike? What you got for us?
Oh, I'm just loving the show.
Thank you.
Watching the Pelicans and the Lakers last night and then going to the pregame between the Warriors and Katie and Kyle and Morgan, they were talking about what a force that Kuminga was going to be, and that Kings had no answer for him. And I'm like, well, the same Chris Paul, the same Kuminga, and the same Klay Thompson showed up. I don't think they even made it out of the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
That was just. I hope we're having the same conversation on Monday, because like you guys said, the Kings have not had that combination to beat the Pelicans, no matter who was playing and who wasn't. But, man, I hope we're having this conversation on Monday. And Keon Ellis, every time I look at him, the only word that comes to mind is relentless.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is just on one all the time. He seems so focused. And Keegan Murray, I just, you know, when it's on national TV and they hear the background of Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis, it's like, what the hell is going on in Sacramento? Well, stick in and watch.
That's right. That's right. Thanks for the call, Mike. Great stuff. Yeah, and hopefully the Pelicans do have something, or the Kings have something for the Pelicans that they have not had before. Or the Pelicans have something, as in shooting 60% from three-point land and playing out of their mind. They look like two completely different teams when they play the Kings. So you got to think. I mean, Chris, you talk about whether it's roulette, whether it's kids. I've seen people with two girls. I've seen people with two boys. I've seen people with four girls. I've seen people with four boys. Six boys or six girls?
Come on.
It doesn't seem possible. It doesn't. It can't happen. Does anybody know somebody with six girls or six boys? It has not. I know five. I've seen four.
Yeah. Yep. My dad's one of five boys. Yeah.
But not six.
Not six. Not six, though.
Not six.
Not six. Not We're getting seven. To LeBron. Yeah. Not you know, six. Not seven.
It can't happen.
It can't.
It cannot happen.
Continue that. One team. One team. One season cannot beat you six times. This is not baseball. Okay?
Literally, they would have destroyed your whole season.
Crazy.
From start to finish.
Start to finish.
By losing to the Lakers. Putting you in the 9-10 playing game, and then subsequently ending your season. They ended your in-season tournament run.
Yep.
It cannot happen.
It cannot happen. It just can't. You know what's crazy, too? The Pelicans have a rare opportunity here to, like, fumble the ultimate bag. They realistically, in the course of three games, will have a chance to blow a shot at clinching the 6 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Clinching the 7 seed.
That's right.
And now they have an opportunity to blow clinching the 8 seed.
It's crazy.
Could you imagine, as tumultuous as this season has been for Sacramento, if the Kings were locked, had done all of the grind of 81 games, and then game 82, just completely throw it out the window. It would be incredible stuff. I hope the Kings can play a part in it. And, you know, it is... I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but you do have OKC waiting on the other side of that game. And
Hold on,
now. That's a matchup that we've talked about before in the past.
Deep down, who do you think is more confident for Friday? The Kings coming off a huge win or the Pelicans who have, I mean, both teams have been limping, but the Pelicans more recently limping. They're coming off two losses in a row, losing Zion, but you do get Brandon Ingram back. And you've beaten the Kings five times with different combinations. Who in the world is more confident?
I think the Kings are, crazy enough. And I don't think it's purple glasses. I'm pretty sure like the Kings getting that win makes you believe that you can do anything. I like, as crazy as that sounds, winning a 9-10 game gives you confidence that you can conquer the world. But truly, like, if you can slay that dragon that was the Golden State Warriors, and you know that, again, you know, Davion Mitchell has talked about it before, you just can't lose to a team six. Like, at some point, things are going to swing in your favor. The Pelicans, like I just listed out, they've been blowing opportunities left and right. I'm sure it's a welcome sight to see the Kings that they feel like they have some ownage on, but at the same time, they got to be feeling the same thing of, we're sliding right now, and at some point, this team is going to be due for it. At the very least, Alan, like, a good performance, right? Like, a close game, because these Pelican Kings games have just been complete blowouts. And so, at the very least, I'm sure the Pelicans have a little bit of fear. And then Zion's out, too. You throw that onto it. Brandon Ingram's on a minutes restriction. I kind of think the Kings are the team that clearly has more confidence. And this might be a situation where, I know we were afraid of it in the Golden State game, but Kings get up big and start to – this is what I said all last year in the playoffs, specifically once the Kings were up 2-0. Get up big, and that – you just want to sow in the seeds of doubt. Mm-hmm. And once those things start getting watered in that second quarter, third, they give up. And you got to put it on them early and make them start to doubt themselves, and they'll start to feel like, oh, my gosh, this season is collapsing right in front of our faces. We don't have Zion to come save us. B.I.'s on a minutes restriction. We need C.J. to go 15 of 17 and from that, three if we're going to win this one.
And that's what you can't let happen if you are the Kings. Yeah. We'll break it down more. We got Thursday to break it down. Yeah. We got Friday to break it down. We got this for you. We have another Kings roundtable.
That's
right. We are going 2 in 1 week. That's what happens when the Kings take care of business.
That's
so that
right.
will be later in the week as well. And you're right, Chris. You got to think that at some point the Kings are going to figure this out. By the way, we talked a lot about how the arena was going to look last night in terms of Warrior fans to Kings fans. I know it's a long trip, but we have numbers on the cheapest ticket at the Smoothie King Center. This is why this is probably one of the best arenas to have to travel to. I know it's cross country,
right?
But it's just not hitting like Boston.
Game's on Friday.
It's
spend
on
a nice
Friday.
Weekend in NOLA.
NOLA, go get some beads, some beignets. Maybe you kick it with Zion, get some jambalaya.
Amen.
We'll tell you the tickets, and I'll tell you this much. It's more expensive to buy two sandwiches with chips and a soda than to go to this play-in game. Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Here's Barnes finding Keon Ellis wide open, left corner. He scores the three from right in front of the Sacramento Kings bench. 10 points for Keon Ellis. 2-possession advantage, Sacramento 61-57.
All right. I'm looking this up now, Chris, as we speak. Let's see here.
What were the tickets yesterday? I think we said
they were two something.
They were the cheapest. Well, the Kings tickets were expensive. They were
$250,
it said. But I think the Pelicans Laker one was definitely the cheapest one. I think it was like $20 just to get in.
I'm looking here. All right. Yeah, I mean the flights are going to hit you probably $4.
Those are going to be the most expensive.
I'm seeing $4 here for you out there that just want to live on a whim.
Exactly.
Okay.
Have a weekend.
2 p.m. flight. You can be out. All right, that's going to hit you 416. That's on American. Okay, but once you get there, section 305, row 14.
Okay.
$14.
What?
$14.
What section do you say?
Section 305.
Okay, at least that sounds like it's in the bleeders.
Here you
least.
Go. Here you go. The 100s. This is actually
insane.
Yeah,
what's
insane.
The cheapest lower level ticket?
Section 107.
Okay.
$58.
Okay. Okay, that's ridiculous. That's crazy.
In the middle, section 112, $58.
That's a lower level seat.
This is insane.
What is the order of New Orleans sports? It's got to be Saints ones.
Well, Saints they don't even one. Have a baseball team.
They don't have a baseball. It's probably LSU football, too.
Yeah, honestly.
Do they care about LSU more than they care about the Saints?
Probably.
Probably. So LSU 1, Saints 2. I'm sure there's got to be something else. I really don't think they care about the Pelicans even a little bit. I don't think there's any civic pride there for the Pelicans. I mean, they've had bad crowds since AD has been there. And, I'm sure they have some
passionate fans. No, this is no
fans,
Chris. Come on now. Yeah. Chris.
What up?
Come on now. Chris.
What's up?
You can get on the floor for $608.
Like feet touching the
floor. Feet touching the floor.
Okay. That's insane. That's insane. We better see Lil Wayne out there or something. They better have some celebs out there. I'm looking at it too. The attendance of Smoothie King Center, 27th out of 30th in the NBA.
That's awful.
And that's again a team that at the end of the regular season was a 7 seed. Was a 6 seed for a lot of it.
That is awful.
It's not good. It's definitely not good. And it makes sense. Like I think that, again, like that's kind of football country down there for sure. And also the Pelicans are a newer team. Like I know they had the weird Hornets situation where the Hornets used to be in New Orleans and then they moved and then Pelicans came in. And so they never really fully established a fan base. But at the same time, I mean, you think about the stars that have came. Like, again, they've had Anthony Davis and Zion Williamson. Those are two of, like, the Kings have never had, those are two number one draft picks. First off, the Kings have only had one number one draft pick in their history, and it definitely did not end up being Anthony Davis or Zion Williamson.
Can I be honest with you?
Please.
Even, look, Grandma would probably be able to help us out. I would think about it if the Kings weren't 0-5 against the Pelicans. That is the only thing. To go across country and possibly...
It's still NOLA.
to probably lose because they have lost,
sure.
And then you might get surprised and you have a trip out of it.
I'm torn.
I might need to make some calls after.
You can talk to Brendan. Brendan is on a mission to go.
Brendan's going?
He's on a mission to go. I don't know if
Brendan
he's going to end up going, but Brendan is going to do everything he can to go.
There you go. Well, you see the numbers, folks, if you want to head out there. But we're not done with the Warriors and dancing on graves as far as the dynasty is concerned. And, Klay Thompson, there's been talk about the Mavericks, the Magic, and other teams like that. It was crazy, Chris. I mean, to see what he did, or what I should say, didn't do. It was, is there any part of you, what's coming?
I don't think so.
Any part of you,
okay,
at all, in your purple-blooded being,
okay,
that felt just a little bad?
Not last night, but if I were watching on TV and that was not against the Kings, I would have felt bad. Mm-hmm. Because Klay's been the exception to the rule. It's always like, yeah, my feelings are very well documented on Wardell, Stephen Curry.
Extremely.
Draymond Green, not the most chill human being. Kevin Durant's decision to join that team, I think we all feel the same way about
right.
it. Klay was always just the dude who was there for vibes. You had, scaffolding Klay. You had Klay and Rocco
China
in the
Klay.
Boat. China Klay. Klay at the parade Klay. Nobody will ever top parade Klay. Like, Klay is his own separate thing when it came to feelings about the Warriors. I say all that to say, I would have hated to see him be the one that gets the finger pointed at him for the dynasty coming to an end, because there's been so, game six, Klay. There's been so many times when Klay Thompson has bailed them out. There's been so many times when Klay did not get the proper respect that he deserved for everything he did for that team. The fact that in those Cleveland finals, if you watch back, he's guarding Kyrie freaking Irving for the entirety of the game. Like, if they don't have a guy like Klay, they don't have the ability to win the championships in the same way that they did. Klay's ability to play defense was the thing that unlocked everything for the for that Warriors dynasty. And so, you know, that's a long way of saying no. I didn't feel bad for Klay yesterday because the Kings needed it. And, you know, Klay has definitely given it to the Kings in the past. And like I said, he definitely owed us one. So, you know, ultimately, it sucks that it had to be Klay, but it had to be somebody. And if it wasn't Klay, it was probably going to be Wiggins or it was going to be somebody else. So I think it's unfortunate because he did have a lot of – that's the toughest part about it is he was by himself. And that's when you know, HB got to that point at, in those NBA finals when he was on the Warriors where – we talked about it with Kevin Huerter this year. You can hear the thoughts in his head as he's about to shoot, saying, please go in, please go in. If this doesn't go in, just the game is over. And you know, he just got down on himself, and the shots just kept not falling. He kept getting open looks, and it just never fell down. So, no, I don't feel bad for him, but at the same time, I would have felt bad for him if it wasn't against Sacramento.
Let's hear from Shams, who's just breaking down the Warriors' future and what might happen in the coming months.
Shams? There's a lot. Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, we know they're going to be back. They're going to be a part of the core. Draymond Green's still under contract for 3 more years after this season. I mean, unless there's a massive change. They're still building around those two guys. Steve Kerr is obviously extended, locked in. Klay Thompson, if he's going to come back, he's part of that core too.
Really?
But beyond that, it's the young guys, right? It's Jonathan Kuminga, it's Brandon Podziemski, and Trayce Jackson-Davis. And I think everyone else on the roster, I mean, is going to be up in the air. You think about Chris Paul. He's got a non-guaranteed contract for about $30 million next season. Could he be used in a potential trade? You think about the money that you need to go get a star player out there. You need significant salary. Andrew Wiggins, they explored Andrew Wiggins' trades heavy at the trade deadline. I would expect him to be a name to be talked about, too. Those two guys are really the only options you have to really improve this roster at a high, high level. But they're going to have to lean into their young guys. And Jonathan Kuminga, we saw the second half that he had 17 points a game, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, great splits from the field. He's a guy that they're going to need to take the next.
The Warriors need to figure out, in my opinion, especially after hearing that, what is their goal? What is their, like, are they trying to win? Are they trying to win another championship? Because if they are, they need to figure out what the time frame is. Because I don't think that this thing, next season is not going to be a championship season for the Warriors. There's a chance if they make the right moves, maybe they can be back in contention for one true final run with Steph the year after. But I just feel like they're a while away. And that's why, you know, hearing Shams say they need to lean into their young guys, I don't think if you're trying to win a title, you're going to win one with Kuminga and Moody and Pods and Trayce Jackson-Davis with Steph. I think you got to make a decision of either we go young and we lean into Trayce Jackson-Davis, Kuminga, Moody, all these guys, and try and find a trade partner for Draymond. Maybe try and find a trade partner for CP3. I don't think that they're going to be at the point yet where they're going to consider trading Steph, but at some point here, you got to have a conversation with Steph and say, would you rather stay on this team and try and do the one team for your entire career and whatever happens, happens, and we're going to try our best to win, but at the same time, it just might not happen? Or do you want to move to a situation that's going to make you happy? You can either go to Charlotte, go live it up with your dad and your brother and whatever.
LaMelo, whenever he plays.
Sure, do your whole. Maybe they can trade for LaMelo. Who knows? Steph has got some trade value for sure. They just need to figure out what they are trying to do here, because if right now, these past 2 years, they've continued to try and do, not really as much this year, but the two timeline thing of having young players mixed in with veterans. I just don't think you can win like that. And they just need to pick, do you want to play your veterans or do you want to lean into the youth movement?
When we return, no matter what happens on Friday, does this change how you view the season? Opening back up the phone lines, 916-339-1140. Text line as well as the Sack Chat, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.